out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, 3rd of July, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live at radioarian.com. I have got some news from Nat Danelaw, my usual co-host on Tuesdays. He's got a lot of things that are going on offline at the moment, so he's not going to be able to make the program for a little while, but I am pleased to say that I have got my usual Friday co-host with me today, Florian Geyer from Mysterium Fasces. Florian, how are you doing today?
Doing just great. It's always a pleasure to be back on the Daily Nationalist, even if it is not on my regular day. It's glad to fill in for my good friend, Nat Danelaw.
Yeah, well, it's good to be able to do a live podcast with you. I mean, we were doing pre-recorded ones on Fridays, and I'm just glad that you've got up in time to do this live one today again.
Oh, I try. Live to serve and all that. So
lots
here we are.
Plenty of coffee. Anyway, we've got an interesting podcast today. It's got a bit of a theme to it, and the theme to it is, transsexualism and perversity. And it's really brought on by a report that came out of the BBC recently, and they're basically admitting an infestation of sodomites and eunuchs. And I'm quoting from this report here. The BBC has more than 400 transgender staff, 400, a confidential internal survey has revealed. And the figure represents more than 1 in 50 of the workforce, about 4 times higher than the proportion in the population at large. Now, I would question that. Current estimates for transgenders are 0.3% of the population, and there are about 21,000 people working at the BBC. So they actually make up roughly 2% of the workforce, or 6 or 7 times the actual percentage that there is in the general population by some estimates. I mean, we're going to look at some of these estimates later. But this apparently stunned the BBC executive behind the research, who described the total number of trans employees at 417 as very, very high. Well, he's correct there. So has he decided to reduce the figure to make the BBC staff more representative of their viewers? No, of course he hasn't. Tunde Ugungbisan, sounds a bit like orangutan, the BBC's director of diversity, has now launched a major reform to make the corporation more trans-friendly following the findings. Well, this goes quite against what we've always been told. We've always been told that they need to have the same percentage in these jobs at the BBC and elsewhere that we have as the percentage in the general population. But what they've got here is many, many times the actual amount that they've got in the population. And instead of reducing it, they're actually going to make the corporation more trans-friendly. They want more transsexuals. They want more encouragement of transsexualism. Do you see many transsexuals on the Canadian television over there at all, Florian? Are they as much in the public eye as they are over here at the moment?
Well, I think certainly not as a visual media figure. We don't have a huge level of normalization of transsexualism quite yet at the national broadcasting level, but certainly in the day-to-day it's something that has grown increasingly common, and to speak out against the reality or validity of transgenderism or transgender rights would be anathema. It would be totally foreign to the Canadian mindset. But I think that this is actually quite a critical story, because people both on the right and the left, they like to talk a lot about brainwashing, how people's opinions are controlled and how they come to think a certain way. And I think that a lot of times we have been sort of misled, as to what the nature of brainwashing or a worldview influencing is, because we kind of think that it's going to be some sort of either extremely overt attempt to shove a certain opinion down our throats, sort of Soviet style, or it's going to be some sort of subtle, high technological insertion. You know, we're going to get some sort of flashy images of, you know, trannies are okay when you watch Coronation Street or something like this. But I think that really it's a lot more obvious in many ways than that. It's simply the cultural milieu oftentimes that we surround ourselves with, and the presuppositions, the expectations when you watch a certain piece of media. And so if you think about the perspective of, you know, the BBC corporate and national culture, if they have, you know, a transgender population that is like 10 to 20 times, depending, right, the stated national average, one can only imagine how that goes on to affect their perception of the importance and reasonability of, you know, transgender rights, and how they pass on that inference to the mass of the population. And so, you know, and it's, I mean, it's like, think about it. I mean, imagine if you lived in a country that was, you know, 10% black, and then you had a television station that had, you know, 6 to 7 to 10 times the population, you know, as your demographic employment, it certainly would produce an extremely skewed worldview.
Definitely. This subtle normalization of it is what they're pushing in all their programs. It's like with the ethnic minorities, when they show them in all these historical situations, and recently we had all these transsexuals that were turning up in the soap operas, and they're just subtly pushing it. I guess what they're going to have now is transsexuals where you see that they're transsexuals, but it probably doesn't actually get remarked upon. I think that's one of the ways that they're probably going to go about doing it. But continuing with the article, using personal information about BBC staff that only a couple of people would ever know, Mr. Agungbisan also revealed that 11% of BBC employees were lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. But he said he did not regard the BBC as diverse enough, claiming that more lesbians were needed. Well, there are 66 million people in Britain, and from the most recent census, around 1 million engage in sodomite perversions. So that is about 1.3% of the population. So the BBC has almost 10 times as many queers working there as the percentage of them in the population. And they want to have even more. They've actually released that they have a target that they wanted to have 8% queers by 2020. And they've now actually got 11%, and they're talking about bringing more in there. So what is the reasoning behind having this increased number? If it's only 1% of the population, why have they got targets for there to be a lot more than that? Well, the reason for that is because they want there to be a lot more than that. That can be the only reason for this. And when we actually look at the figures, this is what's been happening. There's been an increase in people that are associating themselves as being homosexual. Data released by the Office of National Statistics shows, and this is from another article, by the way, data released by the Office of National Statistics shows that the number of people who identify as being either gay or lesbian or bisexual stood at approximately 1,026,000 in 2016, up 11.4% on the previous year, the largest increase since ONS records began. In the year to 2015, the figure rose by 11.2%. The year before that, there was no significant change, but it increased by 7.4% in 2013, suggesting there has been a steady and gradually accelerating rise in people identifying as gay and bisexual since the survey began in 2012-2013. People aged 16 to 24 were most likely to identify as lesbian, gay or bisexual than any other age group, with 4.1% of young people fitting into these categories, amounting to nearly 1 in 20 young people in the UK. Now, the BBC and the establishment are celebrating this. They're saying, well, this is wonderful. This is because all these people were too frightened to say that they were homosexual before. It's not that. What this is down to is the brainwashing of the young. That's why the largest increase is seen in the ages of 16 to 24 is because of what's going on in the schools, the way that this is being normalized. They're talking about today how they're going to be including LGBTQ issues in sexual education. So that means they're going to be teaching the kids about anal sex, young kids about this, and they're not going to be telling them all about the diseases that are associated with it, the problems that are associated with it in later life, the suicides that are associated with it, because that's hate speech. That's a hate crime to be doing that. So they're just going to be making up these flowery stories, trying to encourage the young, telling them that being gay is good. I mean, we've already had someone in the past that he was prosecuted because didn't want to say that being gay is good, because it's not good. It's harmful. And this is the direct result of all this brainwashing is this huge increase in young people. And it's down to these organizations like the BBC, I think, Florian, and the establishment.
Obviously, I totally agree. And we've discussed before on this program how influential these big media corporations are in forming the culture and exactly what the purpose is of proliferating this kind of homosexualist rhetoric and propaganda. And, you know, I think both of us have done a number of interviews with E. Michael Jones, who very eloquently lays out the case for sexual liberation as political control. I think that's probably familiar to most of our listeners. But long story short, I mean, the proliferation of the homosexualism is perfectly in keeping with, you know, the ends of neoliberal capitalism, because it makes people extremely pliant and easy to control based on their passions, on their vices. And what's more, it's the most natural and easy form of population control, because you people willingly elect to remove themselves from the gene pool and to destroy their ability to form organic family units, which, as we know, are the kind of bedrock of a non-degenerate civilization. And that many times these same people with homosexualism or gender dysphoria, they come out of broken families, majority of the time even. It's extremely, extremely common. We know that there are a very, very large proportion of people who are homosexuals who are sexually abused as children. A very large proportion of people who are have gender dysphoria or report transgenderism who don't come from intact families. And so I think that the this is not a surprise to any of us. We know that the BBC is interested in engaging in kind of cultural revolution and dissolution, and that attacking the very fundamental premises of gender, of masculinity, of femininity, of culture, racial integrity, social organization, that this is critical. This is critical. You have to break these things down, of course, in order to build up something new in their place. And in our instance here, that new reality is this kind of Babylonian international mercantile degeneracy, whereby the passions rule and dominate rather than right reason and natural law.
That's just pure hedonism and selfishness and going completely against nature. Quite clearly, the fact that they want to keep increasing the numbers at the BBC is to reflect these increasing numbers that they are, because they are expecting it to increase. And of course, the latest bit that we can add to this is transgenderism. And when we actually look at the figures for transgender, I mean, that quite a difference from what we are being told. In 2016, there were just 20 transgenders that made a request for a change to their gender on the gender recognition register in Scotland. So that's in Scotland, just 20 in that year. So the number of them is much less than the current estimates, but it is increasing. A UK study in 2009 found that just 0.1% of people were transgenders. So it's gone from 0.1% to 0.3% in 6 years, which means that the number has tripled in that time. And Mr. Ugungbasan admits that he is trying to promote this degeneracy and he's trying to change the way that people think about it. He says, quote, according to the head of diversity, our goal is to create a culture where everyone feels they can bring their best work and begin to change the thought processes and ways people behave and broadcast their programs. Of course, because he's black, it's stilted English. They can't really form proper sentences. But the gist of that is that he wants to change people's thought processes and change the ways that people behave. And this is the brainwashing that is going on. And this delusion that people are actually transgender, that they are a different sex within a body that is an opposite sex, and that is a delusion. And it's brought about by many things, as you were saying, child abuse there, Also, people with bipolar conditions, people with schizophrenia, people with body dysmorphia, and they all converge together. And a lot of the time, it's where children have been abused, where a relative has hated one particular gender. Say you've got like a boy there, and you've got a relative that really hates little boys. What that relative will then do is dress the boy up as a girl and reward the boy when the boy behaves like a girl, and punish the boy if he behaves like a boy. And this happens in a lot of cases. And this is at the root of it, is this abuse. And we shouldn't be, you know, humoring it and saying, oh yeah, you really are a woman. You really are a woman now that you're wearing lipstick and you've chopped your penis off. They've mutilated their bodies. And more of them go on to commit suicide after they've actually done that body mutilation than before. This isn't helpful. And this treatment, which is like giving hormones to children, the opposite hormones that they should actually have, when we have no idea what the end results of that are. We know hormones are absolutely vital for so much of everything, vital for your muscles, vital for your bones, vital for the amount of red blood cells that you have. And what these people are doing is introducing the opposite hormones that they have, that they should have. I mean, we should be doing everything possible to prevent transgenderism. And before you even get in, I've got actually a Bible quote on this, but do you want to comment on the reasons for this transgender delusion, or this massive increase in them?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's clearly reached epidemic proportions, because if you look at country surveys from the 90s and from the early 2000s, before this became a topic of cultural revolution, I mean, you get even, you know, you would get statistics from the Netherlands, who had the highest rates of transgenderism, that were, it wasn't like 0.1, it would be like 0.05, 0.07. fractions of a percent. And so, you know, the rate of like genuine neurological, you know, gender dysphoria, whereby people are born with this neurological illness where their body tells them it's something it's not, is very low. It's very low. Unsurprisingly, it's kind of a rare and strange mental illness. What's happened is that so much of this has been induced through cultural and lifestyle factors, basically. You know, and there's so many different, I think, contributing issues. I mean, to begin with, obviously, you know, socially, the demonization of masculinity and the, you know, feminization of society, the idealization of the feminine form, the liberation of female sexual control means that whoever has access to that level of sexuality, social aristocratic status, again, is something we talked a lot about with Dr. Johnson, Michael Jones. And so there, you know, there is an immediate reward that comes of being a catamite, as you gain access to that particular type of social clout. But of course, you know, we've all heard about the hormonal influences and endocrine disruptors, xenoestrogens and so on, in the food and water supply, turning the frogs gay, as the whole colloquialism goes. And so, yeah, it's clear that, literally what they're saying is that in 20 years or in 15 years, you know, there has been a 10 to 20 times increase in the rate of gender dysphoria in the population. That's what they're trying to claim. And so there's not a lot of ways that you could, you know, go to explain this type of resurgence. I mean, you can't claim with any seriousness that for the last, you know, hundreds of years of human civilization, there's actually been, you know, 10 to 20 times the amount of men who wanted to, you know, wear dresses all the time. And they just were oppressed because the patriarchy was so evil. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that this is all obviously being deliberately promoted. I mean, this, you know, even removing the ideological narrative that we know and can document exists at organizations like the BBC, even the statistics in a raw and base sense are so unusual and so unlikely, they could not but be the product of deliberate and purposeful policies in order to induce normalization of such a demographic reality and worldview.
Well, it's the same as, you know, children get abused. So instead of preventing the child abuse, they legalize the results of the child abuse. They legalize homosexuality, which a lot of the abused children go on to become homosexuals after being abused. We've got a problem with these endocrine disruptors and female hormones in the environment. So instead of teaching people, you know, encouraging people to be more masculine and ways they can increase their testosterone, they encourage people to pretend that they're women. It, you know, they're doing the opposite of what they really should be doing about it. And just to finish off this section, I mean, they try to say, oh, you can be a Christian and you can be a transsexual. According to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 23:1, it says, he that is wounded in the stones or hath his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So you've got a contradiction there in people that are transsexual that then claim to be Christian, just like the sodomites. They're going directly against commandments of the Lord. Now, the next article that I've got here is on silencing dissent in Canada. And this is quite shocking, really, what happened to this guy. A Christian bus driver in Toronto has been charged with a hate crime for distributing pamphlets saying homosexuality can lead to diseases and that Jesus can save gay people if they repent. Bill Watcott distributed anti-gay material which promoted hatred towards the gay community, Toronto Police Service said in a statement, adding that he was arrested in Calgary and later returned to Toronto. The 51-year-old Christian man was charged with willful promotion of hatred against an identifiable group, namely the gay community. The pamphlets he allegedly distributed said homosexuality is associated with sexually transmitted diseases, including HPV of the rectum, which the US Centers for Disease Control says is true, according to The Federalist. The pamphlets, which reportedly included negative remarks against the Liberal Party and left-wing politicians, also said that supporting homosexual acts without repentance could lead to eternal peril and repentance to the free gift of eternal life. However, reports say that the pamphlets neither encouraged hate speech against homosexuals nor advocated violence. I would say what the guy's actually doing, he's trying to help them and he's pointing out the truth that it is associated with disease. Watcott, who has been fired from his job, said that he wasn't given food for 24 hours while in jail and he was also denied medical attention for a leg injury. I had a leg infection and it was bad enough that I was brought to the hospital, but they simply refused to fill the prescriptions. So for 4 days, I had no medications. The infection was actually going up my leg. I was a little concerned it was going to go systemic. So he was actually kept in jail for 5 days for this and refused food for 24 hours. And I think this ties in with, if you are a dissident, you've been dehumanized and you lose all your human rights. I mean, if this was anybody else, they would be up in arms about the fact that he wasn't given food. And because he's speaking out against homosexuality, because he's speaking up for the truth, he's lost all those rights that everybody else has, that everybody else is given. We're being dehumanized for this. And what this guy's doing is just, he's just speaking the truth. It is associated with disease, it is associated with suicide. It's not anything positive. They will lie to you and say, "Well, we see this in the animal world, but only in dysfunctional animals, and only ever as a form of domination." If you look at dogs use it for domination to show that they are the top dog. It's not a loving act. And if you see it in other animals, it's because they are confused. It's because they think that what they are with is a female animal. There is no comparison between people claiming that homosexuality is the equivalent to heterosexuality and what goes on in the animal world. But the people that are speaking up about the truth, they are the ones that are being silenced, and not just silenced and losing his job, but I mean, being sent to jail for all this amount of time. You know, Canada's got to be as bad as Britain, I think, really, Florian, especially with Trudeau. Draw a comparison.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the culture is very, very degenerate, unfortunately. I mean, Canada is in a little bit of a different position as far as the United States and the United Kingdom because of the nature of its geography and like kind of economic insecurity state, where it's extremely expensive to run like a big style police state in Canada because of how large it is. So it can only really be accomplished in a few of these cities, which is where most of the the population lives. But I mean, yeah, this is basically the state of Canada. I mean, in the province of Ontario, the largest province, there have already been children that have been taken from families because their parents refuse to support them engaging in transgenderism, taking hormones as children. That is the law in Ontario now, is that that can be considered child abuse to stop your children from expressing their gender identity. And so, I mean, it doesn't really surprise me to see, you know, guys like this basically, you know, being treated poorly by the authorities in prison, being denied, you know, the socialized medicine that, you know, I'm sure if he had set off a nail bomb, you know, they'd have treated his leg right away. You know, and so I think that it's all just kind of it's pretty clear. I mean, that this is just going into a direction where unless you are willing to actively affirm, you know, homosexualism, if you're not willing to say, oh, you know, of course, I support homosexuals, I think homosexualism is good, you know, on a fundamental moral level, that's going to be against the law, that it will be a hateful act and dissemination of, you know, spreading of hate speech if you just disapprove, if you don't express active approval. So, I mean, that's, you know, there's this, a couple of years ago, there was a very famous, you know, the comedian Sam Hyde, he made a joke in his Paradigm Shift 2077 where it was, you know, state-enforced homosexuality. And everyone thought that was just a really funny joke back in 2013, 2014, when this whole social justice warrior, cultural revolutionary stuff really started to become compounded. But here in the brave new world of 2018, that is more and more every day the actual reality of Western civilization.
It is. It's becoming compulsory to, you know, to celebrate this and promote this. I think Britain, Canada, and Sweden, they're all sort of fighting to be seen as a progressive superpower. And along with doing that, they are massively persecuting the indigenous population. And they've completely lost touch with what public opinion is. The establishment have completely. And the final story that I've got today, again, it's from Britain, and this has just come out just as we were going on air. While heterosexuals are encouraged to try out being homosexual, encouraging homosexuals to become straight is to be banned in Britain. Controversial gay conversion therapies are to be banned as part of a government plan to improve the lives of gay and transgender people. A national survey of 108,000 members of the LGBT community suggested that 2% have undergone the practice, with another 5% having been offered it. Now this made me think, well, if they're talking about the gay community and 2% have undergone the practice, well, that's 2% that it didn't work for. But if 5% had been offered it, then that suggests to me that there's probably another 3% that they're not including there that are no longer homosexual, that this therapy actually worked for. Because if the therapy didn't work, nobody would go along with it. They wouldn't have to ban it because nobody would take the offer up on it. So they're quite clearly banning it because this is successful. This homosexual therapy is successful. Do you think, Florian?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think even more important than the reality of the therapy is the background text of what this guy is saying. There was a really interesting video that came out, I think, a couple of years ago, where a certain Swedish reporter was reporting on fake science, and he went to these, you know, hormone doctors and so on, sexual doctors in the United States and in Norway, and he would ask them, what do you think the cause of homosexuality is? Do you think that it's genetic? And every single one of the doctors in the United States all said, oh, yes, of course, people are born that way. There's no way that they can change it. And then every single one of the doctors in Norway would get really nervous. They'd say, oh, well, we don't know. I mean, it could be genetic. Who can say? And so, I mean, a huge element of the victimization, the special protected class of the homosexualists is to convince the population that these people are just born this way, that a sodomy, another homosexual activity, is some sort of innate, indelible behavior that is ingrained into man at birth that he must express. And if he does not, it will seriously wound and damage his psyche, that it will, you know, just totally destroy and disintegrate his personality, which is nonsense. There's no civilization in the history of the entire world which has promoted en masse the idea that sexuality functions in this manner. It's just a joke.
I think you make a good point.
You know, I mean, homosexuality is fundamentally an activity. It's something that you engage in with your body and something you engage in with your mind. And so, I mean, people who have these kind of urges always have a decision as to whether or not to express that reality, right? Whatever the fundamental inclination or cause of such a temptation or an urge might be. And so, I mean, but if you speak to somebody on the street, I mean, they have become totally convinced that their sexuality and their ego are one-to-one synonymous with each other. And so to limit their sexuality and their sexual freedom is to limit who they are as a person. This is doubly so compounded in the case of homosexuals.
When you point out there that it's not genetic, you know, it can't be genetic. If it was genetic, it would die out with one generation because they don't produce children. So it would be gone. So it quite clearly, it cannot be genetic. Going back to the article here, Equalities Minister Penny Mordaunt told BBC Radio 4's Today programme of the practice. This is very extreme so-called therapy that is there to try and cure someone from being gay. Of course, you can't cure someone from being gay. In its most extreme form, it can involve corrective rape. So what she's saying there is that normal sex between a man and a woman is now rape if the person happens to be homosexual. And she's also saying it's perfectly fine to try and turn straight people gay, which is what we see all the time. We see straight people that are encouraged to experiment with their sexuality, but apparently you can't actually cure someone from being gay. So, and there's another point to this as well. What she's sending out there is that there is a message of no hope. There is no way that these people can ever become normal or lead normal lives. They are stuck being homosexuals for the rest of their life. That's the message that's being sent out there. And all of this goes down to the legalizing of sodomy is legalizing the effects of pedophilia. Instead of actually stopping pedophilia, instead of actually stopping the abuse of children, which about 90% of homosexuals are homosexual because they were abused as children, instead of preventing that from happening, they've legalized the results of it and facilitated it. And it is the same thing with the transsexual thing as well. They instead of actually doing something to prevent it, they have celebrated it and encouraged it. And I'd just like to finish with, again, a verse from the Bible about homosexuality. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So it's a capital crime in the Old Testament. And again, I'll say that you would have to have three witnesses before that could actually come into play. So if that was still law, these people that say what you do in your own homes, you know, that can't really hurt other people. Well, if they were just doing it in their own homes, then nobody would find out about it and they wouldn't get executed. It's the public celebration of it and promotion of it, the gay pride parades, the teaching of it to children, it's all of that that needs to be prevented. And if we just stuck with our traditional laws, we wouldn't have had any of these problems. Anyway, Florian, we've got a little bit over time. Thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Eddie Morrison. God bless and hail victory.